The music industry is arguably haunted by some kind of monster in the ever-growing presence and developments in online media. Legally speaking, it almost seems that the industry hasn't a leg to stand on, with a dated clause in the Copyright Act. And hence, shortly after these laws were enacted in 69, so was the Phonographic Performance Company of Australia, a non-profit organisation responsible for seeking retribution, such as the feeling that resonates around the PPCA. There's currently a case being heard within the High Court of Australia for one of those emphatic board members, as well as a guru to the likes of the working musician in the country. Lindy Morrison, who used to drum for the Go-Betweens, amongst others, assured me that this has been a long time coming and that the plight of the starving artist should be recognised a little bit more formally in terms of getting their paycheck.
Now, to put that in perspective, APRA, who looks after the song, is the collection society for the musical work, the song, charges up to 3.5% of the gross advertising revenue. In 1993, PPCA started distributing to recording artists as well as the owners of the sound recording, the labels. That's when I came onto the board to represent their interests.
Something that's been very troublesome, in particular with this evolving kind of digital component in our lives, this idea that the Copyright Act really hasn't had much of a good going over, so to speak, since 1968. The music industry has always suffered some blows, and I guess currently the problem being the 1% radio cap.
The Australian Copyright Act places a cap on fees that PPCA receives from commercial radio broadcasters and the ABC for the use of our sound recordings. So that means PPCA cannot charge more than 1% of their gross advertising revenue. Our argument is that it's ludicrous to expect that recording artists in Australia should subsidise Australian radio. And there is a copyright tribunal to determine what license fees are. The problem is, because of this cap, we've lost the reproduction right, and this cap should be removed so that we can go to the tribunal and we can say what is recorded, what are records worth? What are they worth?
I mean, the music industry generally has faced blows from all kind of directions. Last year, Shock was forced to go into liquidation. I've talked to a lot of distributors and labels that have been forced to close, and in turn, bands are finding it more and more difficult, particularly in certain regions of the country, to generate any kind of sustainable revenue. So I guess with this whole kind of future in mind, how is it going to be possible for music to live on? Because I think we take it for granted in a way that we just assume that music will continue to be composed no matter what.
What I'd like to see is ISPs more responsible. You know, there's a system overseas.
Three strikes.
Yeah, three strikes and you're out. And I think that's a really good system. Obviously, the ISPs are not happy with that, but there are discussions going on at the moment within government. In Australia, the labels and the publishers didn't take on any individuals. Jamie Lee Rattard, I think you're talking about. I mean, she was downloading more than one track, but there was a huge backlash in the United States because they took on individuals. And we didn't want to repeat that here in Australia, clearly, which is why we're talking to ISPs to give warnings to people who are abusing the system.
And so now it's gotten to the sense of the High Court, which sounds extremely impressive.
The Australian Constitution requires that any law affecting the acquisition of property, if the government takes over property, and in this case they've taken over the sound recording by placing a cap on it. They've taken part of our property by having legislation putting a cap on the price of it. Then it must be on just terms. We are arguing that it's not just terms, that you know, there's absolutely no reason to put a price on a cap on the price of recordings. So that is unjust law. And so it's had to go to the High Court, and that's what's being played out in the High Court as we speak.
Yes, how do we move forward? I mean, is there any kind of ray of hope or something that kind of ensures some promise for the industry?
Well, I guess the what it is promising in the industry is that creative people continue to create and make really, really great music, and those people will continue to create. It just and there are many, lots of really interesting venues being opened up.
Dunn Hotel was a bit of a precedent to that, yeah.
Yeah, and but basically we've just got to fight those people who just see music as a hobby. And, you know, they're the people who will allow their content to go out for free, you know, because they don't care whether they're making any money. You know, they're the people who will use Creative Commons, for instance, to put in all their music into that and say to people, oh, you can use, do whatever you like with my music, because basically they don't want to have a career out of it. It's sorting out who wants to have a career and who doesn't. And those people who want to have a career, they're the ones who are really interested in copyright law reform.
Right, and so I guess how does the how do you guys move forward as well? Like, I mean, how are you going to be there, you know, to support and to ensure?
We're constantly running cases in the Copyright Tribunal. We took the gyms to the tribunal recently. We've lobbied government. Well, since 1993, I've lobbied different governments so many times about this issue, the cap. We're trying to raise the profile of PBC, as you said.
Local legend in the music industry, as well as one of the board members, representative of the artists at the PPCA, Lindy Morrison, was speaking there.